Hello, and welcome to the Cancer Horizons podcast. In each episode, you'll hear from patients, survivors, caregivers, advocates, or healthcare professionals to do what CURE does best, provide cancer updates, research, and education.
Kate Rice is proof of the power of persistence and positivity while navigating a cancer journey. Kate, an award-winning journalist, received a diagnosis of stage 4 anaplastic thyroid cancer in October 2021 and quickly applied the same dogged dedication that had served her reporting in service of her own survival. Anaplastic thyroid cancer, according to the American Thyroid Association, occurs in less than 2% of patients with thyroid cancers, but is one of the fastest growing and most aggressive of all cancers. The disease's survival rate is less than 6 months, and just approximately one-fifth of patients live longer than a year after receiving a diagnosis. Within days of receiving her diagnosis, Kate left New York City for Houston, Texas, seeking treatment from the Facilitating Anaplastic Thyroid Cancer Specialized Treatment Team at the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center. Kate, whose vocations have also included rock and roll singer and stand-up comedian, is now a radio disc jockey and ski instructor in Park City, Utah, and she returns to Houston every 6 weeks for immunotherapy treatments at MD Anderson. She documented her cancer journey in the 2023 book Cured, A Tale of Badassery. She spoke with CURE's Cancer Horizons podcast about her cancer journey, why determined self-advocacy is absolutely essential, and her advice for fellow patients facing the long haul of a stage 4 cancer diagnosis.
When I was a reporter, none of my sources or desired sources could escape me. At sooner or later, they were going to have to talk to me. I just have that kind of determination. And it wasn't so much that I wanted to find out about the cancer I got diagnosed with. I wanted to find out who could cure it. And I immediately, what I always used to do as a reporter was cast a really wide net. I just told everyone I knew about my diagnosis. I sent a text within minutes to my siblings and one of my very dear cousins, who is basically like another sibling, bumped into people I knew on the street and told them. And as a result, I had all this information coming in, but almost immediately, because I got diagnosed in New York City at a hospital where none of the doctors I dealt with had ever seen this cancer before. They were completely blindsided. They thought it was like nothing. They weren't very concerned about it when I came to them. But my cousin, who happened to live in Houston, so when I got the diagnosis, none of them had seen this cancer before. I was like, what do you know about this cancer then if you haven't seen it before? But my cousin, who I had been one of the first people I'd sent, cast that wide net out to try to get information, had promptly gone online and found that MD Anderson Cancer Center in Houston had a clinic that specialized in this very rare, like I think, as I recall, only 500 cases a year and actually cured people with it. So I got my diagnosis, I think at 2 o'clock Friday afternoon, I was walking home up Columbus Avenue, I guess, and on the phone with MD Anderson to get in there because I can jump on the phone with both feet.
For other patients out there receiving a diagnosis, how important is it that they be kind of the driving force of urgency and treatment and diagnosis and next steps?
It's essential. It's absolutely essential. You have to stand up for yourself. You have to recognize that your doctors are specialists in whatever it is they're specialists in, but you're the specialist in your body. I knew something was going on. I mean, something was happening with my thyroid. Thyroid cancers in general are not the scariest cancers out there. They're serious cancers. The treatment for a whole bunch of different thyroid cancers is not fun. But I knew this was something that was potentially a very big deal. And so when the first doctors I saw in New York were very relaxed and, you know, I couldn't get in to see a doctor I've been seeing for years because I had what are called indeterminate nodules on my thyroid, not malignant, but not benign either. They were like, yeah, well, we can't get you in for 6 months, but that's okay. I'm like, no, not okay. And so even before I got the diagnosis, I was a pushy patient and we all have to do that. And the thing is, you're like, oh, I don't want to be in much trouble. These guys are the pros, they know, but really you've got to listen to your body and stand up for yourself. I've always been an enthusiastic journaler, but what I did was I did turn to all my friends and family, and I started a blog that I ended up calling the Warrior Goddesses blog. And it was just me telling the story like a friend had told me to do it so people know what they can do to help you. Well, I knew what they could do to help me, and that was to be my cheerleaders. And the thing is, a lot of stuff that happened was funny. I mean, my cousin and I go like screeching into the brain MRI office because we're late and we're like, oh no, are we late? And the young woman at the reception desk looks at us and kind of shrugs and said, it's only a brain. It's only a brain scan. No big deal. I mean, and we're like, we burst out laughing. And then she was a little embarrassed. And we were like, no, no, we're looking for jokes. So I did a blog that was all the funny stuff about just funny stuff happens in a cancer clinic all the time. Funny stuff happened because I moved in with my cousin and her long-suffering husband and their dogs, and my whole family came to visit, one of which included my brothers, who had an almost house-trained new puppy, because stuff had happened so quickly, people just came. And so I was laughing the whole time, and I was only getting good news. So I actually started writing the story right then. In fact, one of my friends who is a writer goes, Kate, I'm so jealous of you. You've got your next book all written already. Like, well, I could think of other ways to do it, but I go in every 6 weeks for immunotherapy treatment, which basically, to oversimplify, acts as a vaccine. It acts like a vaccine. So it opens up, this is how my endocrinologist described it to me, it opens up your immune system's eyes so that they recognize cancer. Because what happens with cancer is usually our bodies, as you and your listeners and readers know, it's amazing in the way it just like gets rid of all of these different rogue cells that pop up. But every once in a while, for whatever reason, it misses them. We get, you know, our immune systems are weakened because we're putting our energy someplace else, that kind of thing. And so I am fine. Technically, my diagnosis is still stage 4. And every once in a while, something pops up and we do something little that takes care of it. So I go every 6 weeks to Houston, visit my cousin, go out to dinner. Houston has great restaurants, and I'm living my dream life. I've moved to the mountains of Utah. I'm a ski instructor. I'm a DJ at the local radio station. I just wrote another book, and it's snowing a lot right here. And so I'm just super happy. And early on, I had a couple of, I don't know, visions, dreams, whatever, where I realized whatever is going to get me is something other than this diagnosis. And I just rest assured in that. And I say thank you every morning and every night for all the good things that have happened to me, including this diagnosis, because it got me to do stuff that I was dragging my feet on. The book is called Cured, A Tale of Badassery. And it's about my cure, not only of this diagnosis, but of the life conditions that I think made me vulnerable to it. Because I was, you know, I'm from Wisconsin, and we're raised to, you know, you're not supposed to praise, be the center of attention. You're supposed to be very low key. If, like, I always joke, like if somebody just rescued somebody, like if say somebody just rescued a kid from falling in through the ice and the mother starts thanking all the people who rescued the kid, they're like beating her away. Because they're so embarrassed. And so there, I just came from this kind of self-effacing, help others type mindset. And I think women in particular are raised to put others first and not think about themselves, and also don't rock the boat. Don't say things that will upset people. And so it was also getting cured of that mindset and starting to stand up for myself and, you know, realize sometimes I'm going to say stuff that people aren't going to like. They don't have to like it. They don't have to like me. That's fine. I'd rather be me and alive than not.
Say there's someone out there who's reading this article, listening to this podcast episode, and they themselves have recently received an advanced diagnosis, a stage 4 diagnosis. What advice do you have for them in terms of the long-term picture, the long-term scope of living in a state of disease management, like how you're living right now?
Yeah. First of all, stay positive. One of my nurses at one point talked to me about how important mindset is. She said, so many patients just give up. I can count on one hand patients like you. So stay positive. Realize we all have to fight this cancer trauma that understandably many people in this country, in the world, carry, because we've seen terrible things happen to people we love. My dad died of prostate cancer. But the thing to remember is so many cancers now are either curable or treatable and manageable. It's just the whole thing is getting to the right place in time, which is a challenge with our healthcare system. But you really have to remember there is no such thing as false hope. There is only hope. Stay positive. Make sure everybody around you is positive. There's a ton of really helpful books and websites to go to. One, a friend of mine has a website that she started after She got cured of this really weird and rare cancer. It's called cancerfreeforlife.com, where she's got books. She talks about meditation, which I have to say, all of my doctors at MD Anderson encourage things like meditation, yoga, eating to cure cancer, doing acupuncture. There's a lot of lifestyle stuff that you can do. And it's the thing that's action that you can do. And be a good reporter, cast a wide net, look for cures. I mean, I have to say, I've heard the word remission once at MD Anderson in more than 2 years of going there. They talk disease-free, hold at bay, manage. And just remember, it's a whole new world out there for cancer treatment. It's just getting to the right place at the right time. The other thing is, if you're on Medicare, which I was, I had just gone on Medicare right before I got diagnosed. I was able to be at MD Anderson in 5 days. I got diagnosed October 1st, walking in the door for my COVID test at MD Anderson the next Wednesday, like 5 or 6 days later. So there's an advantage to being older sometimes.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Cancer Horizons podcast or visit curetoday.com/podcasts. The Cancer Horizons podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. Find us on Facebook and Instagram at Cure Today and on X at Cure_Today. And be sure to sign up for Cure's e-newsletter for the latest in cancer updates, research, and educational opportunities.